From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy, happy hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, October 21st, 2015, and I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. We've got a great show in store for you all. We will be inviting a good friend of the show. We go way back, like four flats on a Cadillac, Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico is going to give us a firsthand look at what occurred between Detroit King and Detroit Cody High School last week. A fight ensued that initially had barred King from participating in the Detroit PSL title game that will be played Friday. That's right, because King has been reinstated, I guess you can say, and all things have been forgiven now. A lot of the parents of the kids from King, they voiced their thoughts and opinions on why this game should be played. Rico is in the D, and he of course has been covering high school sports for a long, long time. Rico will join us on the show to give his thoughts and sort of recap what has gone down in the past 4 days. So you don't want to miss that. We'll also be talking about a certain Michigan football player who found himself in hot water. That case is moving along and new details have been revealed. Also, Blake O'Neal, the punter for U of M, who muffed it, and of course that play which led to the Michigan State last second victory over the Wolverines. O'Neal talked yesterday. Hear what he had to say, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this October 21st. All right, former Michigan football player Logan Tully Tillman, who was dismissed from the team September 10th, is facing 3 felony charges after a September 5th incident involving filming a woman naked without her consent. Tully Tillman told police he didn't remember filming the encounter after drinking a large bottle of cognac by himself. He is scheduled for a probable cause conference on November 5th. We'll have more on that story in just a sec. University of Michigan football punter Blake O'Neal, he spoke yesterday concerning the game-winning muffed punt that led to the Michigan State win. He said that his instincts were trying to pick up the ball and punt it instead of falling on it. Those instincts came from his time playing football in Australia. O'Neal is keeping his head held high as he said, quote, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go again. That's the beauty of football.
As I said, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go again. That's the beauty of sport. We get another chance against Minnesota to come out and prove that we're improving, and also that we've learned from, you know, the stuff that we did against Michigan State, which I think overall we had a really great game.
That's one cool accent. I wish I had an Aussie accent, right? I'll sound much cooler than right now, okay? All right, Detroit Public Schools emergency manager Darnell Early announced that Martin Luther King Jr. High School and Cass Tech High Schools will play their Division II championship game on October 23rd at Ford Field after all. King was going to have to forfeit the game after an on-field brawl took place after their division semifinal game against Detroit Cody. The aggressors of the fight from King will be suspended from the championship game, and Cody players will be suspended for their first game of next season. I got a chance to reach out to Alvin Ward, who was a part of the PSL, and he declined to comment on today's current sports, but he did assure me that he would be a part of the show in the coming weeks. We will invite Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1 to talk about that story and much more. Don't touch that dial. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson was named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for his performance versus the Bears. Johnson had 6 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown in the Lions' 37-34 overtime win over the Shot. Detroit Pistons center Andre Drummond told the team he would like to put his contract negotiations on hold until next summer. By doing this, Drummond freed the Pistons' $12.7 million cap space. That freed up that amount of money. As team owner Tom Gores had said, Keeping Drummond is the team's first priority, and him and Drummond are in constant contact throughout the year, discussing what could make the team better. Seattle Seahawks running back Fred Jackson crashed his black Corvette after practice on Tuesday. Reports that he was drag racing with Marshawn Lynch have since been denied. Jackson was luckily not injured in the crash. Former Alabama running back LT Tenpenny died Tuesday evening in a one-car crash in Mississippi. After being one of the highest-ranked running backs coming out of high school, Tenpenny was redshirted his freshman year at Alabama, which prompted a transfer to UNLV, where he was then later dismissed for breaking team rules. He eventually ended up at Nicholls State. Tenpenny was just 20 years old. Oh, the New York Mets, they took a commanding 3-0 series lead, beating the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley Field last night, 5-2. Mets starter pitcher Jacob DeGrom was brilliant as he tossed 70 innings of four-hit ball. He gave up two runs and struck out seven. The Mets look to sweep the Cubs tonight and make their first trip to the World Series.
And this ball is drilled.
Since 19.
And this ball is drilled to right center field. It is deep. Man alive, Daniel Murphy has homered for the fifth straight postseason game. Big spot for Conforto, who made his major league debut on July 24th and now has a chance to break a tie here in game three. Ball gets away on strike three. Cespedes will score. Conforto safe at first. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, how about that? Again, the Mets look to sweep the Cubs tonight and make their first trip to the World Series since 1969. And Blue Jays knuckleballer R.A. Dickey couldn't make it out of the second inning Tuesday night as the red-hot Kansas City Royals bats put up 14. Yes, 14 against the Toronto Blue Jays, making the series 3-1 in their favor. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. It's time to start the show.
Midnight Madness coming this week. I want to thank Coach, first of all, for coming down to the game on Saturday. I haven't made that trek yet. Maybe I'll make that sometime. Take the abuse.
You couldn't be on the bench like I could, hiding, you know, at my place, at their place. But you know what's funny? You used to wear a sport coat and that here, and I used to dress like the class clown, and then you won 31 out of 34. I decided to wear a sport coat, try to catch up. And
what are you coming as this week?
Like me, huh?
What are you coming as this week?
I might come as you right now.
No, come on.
Huh?
I think Tom Izzo's up.
See you, man.
Okay, man.
Part the fun of being able to make a fool of yourself and laugh at yourself. I learned that from Judd Heathcote. And but yeah, there is a little pressure on. You know, thank God I don't come up with those things. But I'm sure it'll be something interesting, and yet I think our players will have some fun to it. It really is a fun night when you get to enjoy it with young kids that don't normally get to see the game. You know, that's the cool part of Midnight Madness to me, is a lot of people that don't get to enjoy the games during the year get to come and come with their parents, and to me that's the cool part. You know, it's still one of my favorites. The motorcycle was a favorite. The probably my favorite one of all was the tribute to Magic and the 79 team. You know what? Because that was more the players watching them with the short shorts and all that stuff was fun. And rappelling down from the ceiling was still one of the more eerie ones for me, when they pushed me off that beam and sat me there for 5 minutes. I was ticked off, to say the least, but made it through that one. So, you know, riding in on a horse and worrying about, you know, at the last minute they had to put socks on the horse because they didn't want him ruining the floor. And then they tell me that we're a little concerned that his legs might go like this, and you know that. So there's been some things that behind the scenes you guys don't know about that were a little bit different, but I don't know. It's they've all been good in their own way.
So, you know, this is always a fun time of year for many of you guys out there who are Spartan fans, and for many of you guys who are just hoop fanatics like myself, because Midnight Madness, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it, folks. I mean, it marks the, you know, kind of like the unofficial start to the college basketball year. And it's very cool because I always tune in to SportsCenter that night when all respective schools, all respective basketball programs across the nation, they have their own Midnight Madness where they introduce the team. And it's just a fun night. You know, fans can come out for free and get pumped up about hoops. And every single year, it is always a treat to try and sit back and guess what exactly Tom Izzo is going to dress up as and address the crowd that year. Always a fun time. Last year probably had to be the craziest moment for me. I mean, I cover it every single year. And I remember being on the court waiting for Tom to come out, and all of a sudden this cannon comes out of nowhere, comes out of the basketball tunnel, and we're like, what in the world is that? And guess who's on top of it? It's Tom Izzo, folks. So all of a sudden you see Tom climb all the way to the top of the cannon as it points directly to the ceiling of the Breslin Center. He hops in, and then there's an explosion from the cannon. And you could see Tom fly across the ceiling of the Breslin Center into a safe net. But then next thing you know, come on, you really... when I first saw it, there was a part of me that said, is that really Tom? But there's also a part of me that said, that's not Tom. That can't be Tom. The NCAA, I mean, in Michigan State, I mean, I don't know if the health insurance plan would be too privy with Tom Izzo floating from a cannon, an exploding cannon across the skyline of the Breslin Center, okay? So there was a part of me to say, that's not really him. And lo and behold, it wasn't. It happened to be one of the she was dressed up in a cheerleader uniform later on in the night. So I guess it was a Michigan State cheerleader who took on that feat. I don't think it was a cheerleader, though, now to think about it now. I mean, it had to be a professional who was involved with stunt doubling. I don't know. Maybe we could look that up. But she was dressed up in a cheerleader uniform later on that night. I guess rooting on the Spartans that night, Isaac. But it was unbelievably cool to see that moment. And you almost thought it was time for a second, because after you see this figure go across the skyline of the Brez, come down in the net, immediately the men's basketball team, they huddle around the figure. And then Tom Izzo emerges in the outfit. And, you know, he takes the mic and says, you know what, guys, it wasn't really me. But that had to be the coolest moment for me because of the prop that was involved, that being an exploding cannon. Very cool stuff. So I have no idea what Tom Izzo was going to be this Friday. It's always a mystery. It's always fun, though, folks. Again, Midnight Madness this Friday night. I believe doors open at 8:30. Players will be signing autographs, and then the formal program will begin at 9:30 p.m. They no longer do it right at midnight. I don't know why they call it Midnight Madness, but it's just a cool name that's stuck. But they no longer do it at midnight. It probably ends a little after midnight. At the same time, a cool event nonetheless. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We have a great show in store for all of you out there, folks. One that is going to involve a lot of in-depth discussion and primarily focused on today, the incident out in Detroit concerning two well-known Detroit high schools. There was a brawl between Detroit King High School and Cody High School that spurred a controversial forfeit, appeal, and later reversal that was all caught on video. Here's actually a report from WDIV in the D.
I'm happy they let us play now. Yeah. Instead of canceling our game. The decision followed a meeting of parents last night and another gathering today outside DPS headquarters. King had been told it would not be allowed to play Cass Tech for the PSL title because of a brawl that took place on the field following last Friday's game against Cody. The championship was to be awarded to Cass Tech by way of forfeit. Early overturned the decision today, but says the aggressors from both schools will be punished. The statement reads in part, the King players will be suspended from play in Friday's championship game, and Cody players will be prohibited from playing in the first game of the 2016-17 school year. The statement continued, while I am a firm believer in the letter of the law, I also know that in the spirit of the law, if we have an opportunity to shape a student's life in a positive way for the long term, it is incumbent upon us as adults to not only model the way, but also find more constructive compromises when available. The decision keeps King's hopes for a PSL championship and perfect season alive. They've already beaten Cass Tech once this season.
That's how the guys get their scholarships. That's how they go to college. So that's really important and stuff like that. Like, you know, we want to see successful men, not, you know, down on the ground men.
Important for these young men to be able to play in that game with so many eyes on them. That will happen. Now, the Cody coaches, we should mention, have been suspended indefinitely because of that brawl last week. The JV game going on here at Lorenzo Wright Field right now. When this is completed, then the King varsity players will be out here for practice, getting set for that championship game against Cass Tech. It'll be 7 o'clock on Friday at Ford Field. For now, we are live on the east side. Dave Llewellyn, 7 Action News.
No doubt lessons to be learned on and off the field from that one.
Yes, thank you, Dave.
Yeah, so that was a report courtesy of WDIV Channel 4 News in Detroit as they covered this situation that has, you know, there's multiple ways that you can go when evaluating this. Again, it was ruled yesterday, one day after declaring the championship game between Detroit King and Cass Tech a forfeit victory for Cass. DPS emergency manager Darnell Early ruled that King will be allowed to play Cass Tech at 7 p.m. this Friday at Ford Field for the Detroit Public School League's Division I championship. And since that report, a video has surfaced online that shows you the brawl that took place between those two squads last week. And it is disturbing, to say the least. Anytime you see any sort of violence involved in the world of sports, it is one that you don't smile about. It's one that is troubling and one that made me just shake my head and say, what in the world is going on here? And it took place during the post game. Time winds down, and then you can see the camera clearly pan to the handshake line. I mean, it's customary in sports for both teams, win or lose, to line up in the middle of the field and to walk past each other and say, hey, good game, and shake one another's hands. But you could clearly see, you know, even before, you know, the line took place, you could see Cass Tech players line up, and then a bit of conversation and dialogue happened between one of the coaches and Cass Tech. And then slowly you start to see the referees come, you know, to the huddle and say, you know, they were kind of just huddling around. And then you finally see it took King a long time to line up and finally say, okay, let's go through this line. Because previous to that, they were standing on the sidelines and looked like they did not want to even partake in the post-game line. So then the line begins, and then it doesn't. It ends up in this big huddle, and it looks as though it's going to be a very violent situation. Now, you do see some players in the video smacking the respective helmets of other players, saying good job. Not in a violent way, not any animosity there. There are some kids that are doing the right thing. But then stuff hits the fan, and you see a bit of an altercation happen in the video, and it leads to complete chaos. So I actually, yesterday, as I'm doing work, you know, I decided to give Alvin Ward a call. Alvin Ward is a part of the PSL, and he's a name that we brought up on yesterday's show because apparently he was present during the game. He saw the brawl and thought that something needed to be done. He was not happy about it at all. And actually, to read the excerpt from our headliners in just a sec when I bring it up, Alvin was one of the guys, one of the primary decision makers in saying that Detroit King is not allowed to play in that game for the championship because they messed up. They certainly messed up. Now, it's hard from an outsider looking in, one who wasn't at the game, and at the time, the video was not released at the time yesterday when we took our airwaves. I hadn't seen it, so I really couldn't make an accurate judgment call as to the severity of what took place. But now, seeing the video, I understand where Mr. Ward was coming from. So I tried to get Ward on the show, and when he answered the phone, he sounded very flustered, like he had been talking to people all day. And, you know, he's like, Al, what I've been going through throughout this past weekend has been, it's really been frustrating, totally frustrating. And I am not in the position right now to go on a sports talk show to talk about this incident right now. So I told him, hey, I totally understand. Can we get you at a later date? And he said, sure. You know, when these championship games die down, when things sort of die down a bit, I will be happy to come on and talk about the situation. But right now, it's just a bit crazy. Totally understood where he's coming from. And again, I encourage you guys to look at this video before you make an opinion on whether or not this is the right move to reinstate Detroit King High School. Look at the video and judge for yourself. Now, there's multiple ways you can have this discussion because on one end, as you heard in the Channel 4 report, you heard a few students there and a few personnel talk about how for a lot of these kids who are playing high school football for two pretty good programs like Detroit King and Detroit Cody High School, this is very important for them because scholarships are on the line. College personnel, assistant coaches, and scouts are looking at these young men to possibly be a part of their programs. And speaking for young black men out there, athletics becomes that safe haven and that door of opportunity, that window of opportunity for them to get a college education. So playing in a title game and playing on a stage in which they get to showcase their talent could help them in that regard. I get that. But at the same time, I'm a bit conflicted when having that conversation because when you look at this video and when you look at kids involved with a situation like this, clearly seen throwing punches, engaging in a brawl, not showing good sportsmanship, folks, I'm also a firm believer because this is the way I was raised. I'm a firm believer in tough love. I'm a firm believer in learning from a mistake. And when you, what are these players going to learn? Those who did engage in this violence after the game, what are these kids learning if they are just going to get a slap on the wrist? Not even really a slap on the wrist because they just get to, they get to play in the championship game the following week. So I totally get where Mr. Alvin Ward was coming from. Again, the decision was made by him. He's the director of athletics for the PSL. He was at the semifinal game looking at our headliners now that finally loaded here. And he believes that it would have been the first time a PSL championship game would not have been played. And I get where Alvin is coming from because for me, at some point, you have to hold anyone, let alone a kid, accountable for his actions. And I get the argument, yeah. At the same time, a lot of these kids are able to go to college based on their athletic talent. But you're telling me, what are we approaching the final week of high school football here? You're telling me at the weeks leading up to this game, a scout or an assistant coach hasn't seen that respective player play? Don't give me that argument, folks. I'm sure if a college coach really wanted a recruit from Detroit King, they would have seen, they've been seeing that kid the last, what, 7-8 weeks here, folks. Not playing in a Detroit PSL contest isn't going to hurt those chances to a detriment where he can't be offered a scholarship. I don't agree with that one. I'm not buying that one. But at the same time, a message needs to be sent to kids to learn. I mean, because at the same time, when I grew up, if I did something wrong, there were repercussions for my actions. There are none here. And I'm just worried whether or not these kids now who are allowed to play and those who are involved, whether or not they really have learned to the full extent of their actions and what those actions could possibly lead to once they become an adult in the real world. And on the flip side of that coin, too, there in that video, as I stated, there are kids who are doing the right thing. There are kids that get it. So for me, I'm curious, and some of the coaches have been suspended, as I said in the headliners. I'm curious, though, to know whether or not the kids who were involved in that brawl, who whatever coaches are left remaining on that assistant coaching staff who will be coaching that team for King, whether or not those players who were involved in that video, in that brawl, clearly seen whether or not they will play. Because if I'm the coach filling in for that game on Friday, they would not be playing. That's my thoughts. I'm curious to get yours. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Yeah, he's from New Orleans, Isaac Constance. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, Al. Yeah, always unfortunate when something like this happens. Did you ever have an incident where there was a fight during a sporting event at your high school?
Fortunately, no. There were times where it did get heated. I was one of those knuckleheads, to be honest, Isaac, back in high school. I told you about my time in high school. I was a little firecracker, man. I led our team in technical fouls my senior year. I was a guy who I hated losing. I still to this day hate losing. And I had to have multiple conversations with my head coach back when I was in high school about my temper after games. But I always manned up and shook the opposition's hand whenever something went down. Now, there were instances where, you know, we did get into it. We had certain rivalry games in high school. We did get into it verbally with our opposition. But at the same time, it didn't lead to violence. It didn't lead to a fight, very fortunately. No.
Yeah, freshman year for me, there was actually a fight between us and McMain, I believe, is the other school. But after the football game, just two players jawing off and then a fight breaks out, and we've got players that were suspended for fighting, punching, all sorts of things, and nobody was kicked out of school, but there were people suspended for 10, 15 days. So I think my lesson for this is, I don't know, I find it hard to bar an entire football team from playing for a championship because of a single fight. I think suspensions and the way they portray the school, yes, that should definitely be held against them. But for a game that they won, they belong in the championship, if nothing else, based on talent alone, then I don't know. I think the crowd, I think the fans of the sport deserve to see that championship game. Now, I think the kids who instigated this do deserve to be punished, but I think that's something for the school to hand down more so than the athletic committee.
Yeah, I do think that, again, there are kids who are seen on this clip. I'm watching it as we speak right now. There are kids who are seen on this clip doing the right thing. And, again, you play an entire season, and to you know, if King was barred from playing, and I'm seeing here number 16, he looks like, you know, he's a guy who was one of the main instigators here. He's got a coach holding him and dragging him off the field right now. As he throws his arms in anger, he just threw his helmet down. I'm giving you like play-by-play of the whole video on that right now. But anyway, there are kids in this video who are doing the right thing. And when you play an entire season and you work your way to that goal of playing in a title game and having an opportunity, and to see a few of the rotten apples out the bunch do something stupid like that, hey, they are the ones that need to be punished to the full extent, not those who were doing the right thing. So I do see that aspect to it as well. And I totally understand where Alvin Ward was going, though. So, hey, it's going to be very interesting. Again, later on the hour, in exactly, what, like 5 minutes or so, we're going to have Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on from Detroit. Rico, again, he covers high school sports pretty extensively, and I'm pretty sure he has a firsthand account of what went down. Before we do hit our first break right now, let's go to our phone lines. I believe he's still on. We've got my man, Ray, dear friend of Current Sports. Ray, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
I just got down my jar. I had to call you real quick. I'm really sorry to hear about that situation there. And also, you know, the greatest Super Bowl I've ever seen is on right now. The Steelers and Kurt Warner and the Cardinals is on till 3 o'clock if anybody wants to watch on the NFL Network.
Really? They're showing that right now? What a coinky-dink. You're such a big Kurt Warner fan, Ray. I'm pretty sure you're glued to your television.
The third quarter, it was quite a game. The wrong team won, but, you know, that's the way it always goes. But the right team won Saturday, didn't they?
Well, I tell you what, looking at that Kurt Warner game, though, didn't they come like a yard short of winning the Super Bowl that year? Is that that year?
They scored with under 2 minutes, and then they scored again with 30 seconds left, and he took them back down the field and was trying to Hail Mary pass, and he got it stripped on the last play of the game.
Oh, that's how it ended. Okay.
Yeah, it was 27-23. It was quite a Super Bowl. But I wanted to compliment your coaching staff and your quarterback for both saying thank you, God, for I never see Michigan athletes ever do that. You know,
here we go.
A higher power, that I really believe that happened on that game. Those bullies need to humble themselves down there. Have they been crying quite a bit this week?
Well, no. To be honest, I mean, we've heard comments, which if you keep tuning in, you'll get to hear from Blake O'Neill, the punter who muffed the punt, which led to the Michigan State win on Saturday. But, no, I mean, you know, Jim Harbaugh has gone on. I've seen a few sit-downs with him yesterday, one with WXYZ, Channel 7 in Detroit, and he said, hey, that's sports. That's the way it happens.
He's a great coach. He's a great coach.
Oh, he's fantastic.
But they messed up on that last play. All they had to do was fall on the ball or go for the 4th-and-2, and there was only going to be 5 seconds. They would have had to try a Hail Mary pass from the 50-yard line.
Right, and I want to bring. Do we have? Can we play that bite right now, Isaac? The Blake O'Neill bite. I don't know if we have it or not. But Isaac is going to try to get it up. But Blake O'Neill, he talked for the first time yesterday about the play.
I feel for him.
Yeah.
You know that you guys give everybody in the Big Ten a blueprint way to how to beat Michigan. You got to stop the run first, make the quarterback beat you. And, I didn't think you were going to use that tailback or running back out of the backfield. That was a big play in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes left. Michigan was shocked. I give you a guy that's the first catch he ever had, right, that fullback. He almost got the ball stripped twice on the 10-yard line. That was quite an effort by him. That should have been a touchdown. They called it on the one-foot line, but that was
you're talking about Trevon Pendleton.
To your fullback out of the backfield. Remember I told you all week to bring your fullback or tailback out of the backfield?
It was one of those plays. And, you know, man, what a play by Pendleton. And I really thought that when he crossed, the goal line, I thought he was in. But, again, you said they marked him just short.
Right.
I mean, a guy like that, he never gets, he never gets that opportunity. And, looking at it, I almost thought he should have just gave it to him. Because, L.J. Scott pushing in afterwards.
He was in. That was a bad call. They shouldn't have put that.
It was close.
Yeah, he was on the goal line at least when he – but didn't he just get a scholarship, too, from Michigan State?
I'm not sure. I don't know if he just got a scholarship.
I think he was a walk-on, and they just give him a scholarship in the last few weeks or months or something.
I don't know about that. We'll have to check on that one for you, Ray.
Okay, well, I'm just saying – that was quite a game, but I tell you, that was a big play because it made it 23-21, and then it made them kind of mess up at the end on that 10-second deal.
You got to give a lot of credit to that Michigan State offense because I think on both sides of the ball. I mean, when you look at guys like Grayson Miller and Kari Willis, freshmen coming in as new safeties for the squad, having 8 tackles between them, they did a great job, like you said, of containing the run game for Michigan. Connor Cook, I mean, he did a great job of staying poised like he always is and keeping his team in the game and responding, Michigan State's response on offense after every Michigan score was fantastic. It gave them just enough leeway to stay in the game and give them an opportunity to have a miracle pull off.
Is there any chance to get your offensive lineman back before that Ohio State game? Because you're going to have to get some kind of running attack going against Ohio State.
Not sure. We're looking for an injury update, but not sure on that one, Ray.
Okay, how many offensive linemen you got out right now? Just one or two of them?
Well, I mean, looking at it, we saw Conklin play. We did see him play. We saw Allen out there as well. As of right now,
Finley is out.
Yeah, Finley is out. But other than that, I don't think there's anyone really out. Now, they are still beaten up, but they're still listed on that depth chart, right?
Right. I'm just saying, the Ohio State game ain't, to 3 or 4 more weeks from now. So maybe you can get a couple of those guys back for that game.
It's all about staying healthy. But at the end of the day, it's about you can't overlook these next 3 weeks, though, Ray. The trap that I think a lot of fans and even Michigan State personnel and the players in the field that they can't make is overlooking these next few matchups, because that's ideally the reason why Michigan State has looked a bit shaky up until this point, because I think they've taken certain matchups for granted.
Well,
you know,
agree.
Close
I
wins
agree.
Against Purdue and Air Force, that can't happen. And against an Indiana team.
Hey, Indiana almost beat Ohio State. They had their second, third string quarterback, and they were driving down the field to tie it.
Yeah, right. Indiana, they have an offense that is very high powered. They have a quarterback that I believe is leading the Big Ten right now in yardage. They have a high-powered offense, and they can expose that Michigan State defense if they don't come ready to play, more specifically that secondary. So it's going to be fun. They can overlook people.
Question. That was weird that Calhoun changed his uniform number. Is he going back to his old uniform number? Because I couldn't understand.
No, that was a tribute to Mr. Ed Davis, who got injured right before the season started in practice, tore his ACL, out for the year. He asked Ed Davis if he could honor him with wearing his number in that game. Ed Davis said yes, and that's why we saw Shalique Calhoun with a different jersey on.
Is he going to do that the rest of the season?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. But I thought it was a fantastic tribute. This shows you how big of a stand-up guy Shalique Calhoun is, right?
Well, I'm glad your coach tried to reverse against him. You slowed him down enough to win the game.
That's right. There you go.
God bless you, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Ray. Always a great call, my man.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Rico Beard of Detroit Sports 105.1. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. Don't do it. You're listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back. You are tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, it is Pledge Week here at WKAR Radio, and we are asking you all out there, and actually, we you know, kind of a tidbit for you all out there. We've actually cut our usual fall pledge in half from 8 days to 4. Because we've listened to the many opinions out there from our outstanding listeners, and you guys would like to see pledge cut in half and to have less time when it comes to breaks and more programming. So we have done that, folks. So if you would like to donate to our station and support local programming here at WKAR, you can do that by calling right now, 517-353-5000. Again, that's 517-353-5000. All right, folks. Well, again, our centered conversation and overall theme of today's show is, of course, surrounding the Detroit Public School League and, of course, Detroit King High School. One day after declaring the championship game between King and Cass Tech a forfeit victory for Cass Tech, DPS emergency manager Darnell Early ruled that King will be allowed to play Cass at 7 p.m. Friday at Ford Field for the Public School League's Division I championship. Unbeaten King, ranked number one in Division II in the state, had been suspended by PSL Director of Athletics Alvin Ward following a post-game brawl at its 20-2 semifinal win over Detroit Cody last week. Right now, we have a man on the phone lines who is certainly a dear friend of WKAR's Current Sports, Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico, welcome to the show, my man.
What's going on, Al?
How you doing, brother?
Not bad, man. Not bad. I thought you guys had forgotten all about me.
No.
Al's just too big time for me.
Stop it. Rico, you know we love you.
I've been waiting at pins and needles like a schoolgirl waiting for a prom call.
Stop it. Rico, you know we got a ton of love for you, man. It's always a great time having you on the airwaves, dude. Now, first off, I want to preface our conversation with this because, Rico, I got a chance to actually speak with Alvin Ward yesterday. I shot him out a call, and Rico, for lack of better terms, he just seemed pretty frustrated and flustered. He said, Al, I'm going through a lot. You have no idea what I've been going through this past weekend. I tried to get him on the show today to talk about it and then have you on. And he said, I'm not in a position right now to comment on it. I want to get these championship games out the way. And then after that is said and done, I will be more than happy to join your programming. First off, Rico, the video has been surfaced. What was your reaction to watching it? And what has been the reaction since that video has come out and the aftermath of just that moment, period?
Hell, I can top that. Friday night, I was sitting here watching TV, and I was following a couple people on Twitter, and I saw the game was close. So they said it was at Northwestern High School. I got up, got dressed, and went to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it all firsthand.
Oh, wow.
I saw it all take place in front of me. And I was on the sideline because I'm like, okay, well, I'll go down there, and just in case King loses, I want to be there. But mm-hmm. they ended up winning 20-2. Talked to one of the referees because near the end of the game, the Cody players were starting to get a little chippy, doing stupid stuff, trying to provoke fights. There was one particular incident. King had just scored. Al, they were lining up for the extra point, and the Cody player, defensive player, just slapped the ball out of the hands of the center for King. You know, personal foul. And then they brought the coaches and tried to say, hey, calm your players down. The ref looks at me, and we started talking. He was like, this thing needs to end quickly before it goes. Something happens and things go too far.
Mm-hmm.
End of the game happens, and you could see that, you know, they almost were ready to just do a running clock and get it going because bad stuff was very ominous. King, Coach Harville, the King coach, has his players take a knee behind him on their sideline. The Cody coach comes across the field with his players lined up to shake hands. And the King coaching staff was like, you know what? We don't want to even do this. Let's just say good game, and you go your way and go mine. The Cody head coach was like, no. We really want to show good sportsmanship. And Al, I hate to say it, we've all sat in that horror movie, and you sit in your seat, and you see the person going up the stairs, and you scream, no, don't do it. Don't go up there.
Yeah.
And that's what it was like. It was like, don't shake their hands because this is going to end ugly. They started off with a handshake. It looked as if we were wrong. And then like about 10 seconds into the handshake, the fight breaks out. And I don't know how long the video showed it, but this thing like lasted for a while. It mm-hmm. went from one sideline to the other, to the end zone, to the track, to the fence. It finally ended when some Detroit police officers and security pepper sprayed players and coaches to break it up.
Oh, wow.
That's how it is.
Oh,
so it was
goodness.
A very ugly scene. It was a very ugly scene.
Now, you know, and again, I watched the video this morning, actually. It's posted right now on clickondetroit.com, and I'm sure many other media outlets. And you can see exactly what you just so eloquently described. Now, when this fight, you know, took place, did any thought cross your mind, Rico? And did you say to yourself, okay, something's got to happen here, and you don't think that King would play in the title game this upcoming week? Did that ever cross your mind? What was your reaction to that ruling?
I saw one of the King coaches right afterwards, and I said, are you guys going to be able to play Cavs Tech? And he was like, oh, yeah. Everything should be cool. Don't worry about it. They just brushed it off.
Right.
Right, because I guess they figure it was so many people, what are they going to do, suspend the whole team? I mean, Al, we're a side note. I mean, the fight went so long, I don't even know if they showed it, but yeah, a couple mothers came out the crowd looking like that Baltimore mother during the riots
and just
grabbed their sons and yanked them out and said, no, you're not involved in this anymore, mm-hmm. and pulled them out. Was I surprised? Initially, no, because I was there. I saw it. It was bad. It wasn't a few people. It was a bad scene. It was a black eye, and I said, you know, I see why Cody suspended for the year, and I see why King suspended for a game, because King kind of had to defend themselves, but they should have known better. You knew it was coming, especially the coaching staff. You shot your players for a reason, because you knew that was the right thing to do. The mm-hmm. bad part about it, I believe, and I like King. I've followed him for years. I coaching staff, I know them all personally. But I don't think they should be playing, because I think you set a dangerous precedent because it looks as if they got preferential treatment because they're the number one team in the state, because they got some highly recruited players on their team, that you let them get away with fighting. You let them get away with fighting because of who they are. If they were anybody else, I don't think this happened. But because DPS has already paid money to play the game at Ford Field, they know no one's going to show up for any of the other games. Everybody wants to see King versus Cass.
You know,
so
and that's,
I can understand why my man is under a lot of pressure.
Right.
Because he's getting it from coaches. I'm sure he's getting it financially. He tried to do the right thing, and I think he got overturned. And I feel sorry for him.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the same thing I say at Rico. I agree 100% with you. I just think it sends the wrong message when you, especially when the video's out there and you can see this take place. And the fact that, you know, they
Al, what do you tell the team next year who gets into a fight and you try to suspend them? You let King play.
Right.
Yeah, we did.
Yep.
So you're telling kids it's okay to get into a bench-clearing fight that lasts over 5 minutes and nothing will happen to you. You got to do some community service. That's what they got. I think that's their punishment. They got to do some community service. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a sticky situation. Again, we are talking with Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM. And Enrico, I mean, again, you go to, you know, just about every week you're out there covering, you know, high school football, and you get to see an up-close look at those Detroit teams. Has there been a history of this, you know, between Cody and King? Is it always a heated matchup like this?
No, it's not necessarily between Cody and King, though. They did have something like this happen earlier in the year when they played each other, that Cody players came after the King players at their bus.
Wow.
So, yeah,
wow.
And they're – Al, and this is the ugly part of it, and I hate to do this, but, yeah, I've seen it happen years back. I remember when Detroit Southeastern, when they had Will Golston and Jonathan Hankins and Ed Davis playing for them, and Cass Tech got into it so badly – they talk trash to each other all week that at the end of the game, the referees simply said, go to your bus. You're not shaking hands with each other. Mm-hmm. And I applaud them for being adults because it would have gotten ugly. The whole fight, I mean, I think Southeastern ran up the score at Cass Tech on their home field. They beat them like 40-0.
Mm-hmm.
And you could already see they were ready to fight because they had been embarrassed. So it's happened before that they've just said, no shaking hands, you go to your bus and just leave. Just go.
My goodness. And you know what? I'm reading an article here from Mick McCabe. Oh, I read an article from Mick McCabe of the Detroit Free Press, who has been covering this story, Rico. And he talked about how King parents, coaches, and players, they met with, of course, Darnell Early. Early in the morning yesterday, and the King parents were very upset that King would not be allowed at that time to play in this championship game. And we played a bite, you know, to start our show earlier from a local report down there. And you know, there were different kids, students from the school who talked about how a lot of these kids who are playing for King, I mean, their ticket to college for many of them is athletics. So why would you come in the way between that? That's the wedge that people will harp on to say, that's why King players should play in this game. What was the reaction that you got from a lot of parents, you know, down there? And when you heard that opinion, again, do you agree with what they're saying there?
No, I don't. I don't agree with it at all. I see where they're coming from, but I don't agree with it. Big picture, if you're Detroit Public School League, you got to look at the big picture. You're setting a precedent right now. For the parents, think about it. Al, everybody's kid is bad until it's theirs. And then, oh, it's circumstances. They're really a good kid. They're an A student. They just were in the wrong place, wrong time. Everybody wants discipline until it hits home. And then it's, cut us a break, please.
Right.
They did. They all met at 9 o'clock that morning. I talked to a couple of the parents, and they said, yeah, we got to try and do it. And it was a lot of pressure. It was a lot of pressure because of King is the number one team in the state. You got kids who are, you know, got a ton of D1 offers. Michigan State's involved with two of the kids on that team trying to get them to come there, actually three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot you want to see this. Plus, financially, they had already paid for a field for that game. I'm sure the Lions weren't giving out refunds.
Right.
So,
right.
Do you just suck this up and knowing that you're doing the wrong thing long term? But it looks like it's the old saying: "What's always popular ain't right, and what's always right is not popular."
That's true.
And
yep.
What happened is they went with the popular decision instead of the right decision.
I agree 100% with you, Rico. Again, Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1. One more question for you, Rico, before we get you out of here. Cass Tech, they are a very good team. Do you expect them to pull out that win against Cass Tech this Friday?
I don't know. Cass has the whole revenge factor going on because that's their only blemish. Cass didn't want this thing to be a forfeit. They wanted to actually beat them. They didn't want the title handed to them. I have to see because I think a couple of the King players are going to actually be suspended.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the offensive linemen, number 77, is sitting out. I think a couple of the players are not going to be playing in the game. So it depends on who. Plus, King has a couple injured players. It's going to be a close game. This last game went to overtime. Heck, they showed the highlights on Sunday Night Football when the Lions played the Broncos.
Right, exactly, exactly.
If King is coming in undermanned, then I think the advantage may go to Cass. King, their biggest advantage is big number nine, Donnie Corley. Get the ball to him early and often and just keep throwing it to him. Kind of the way Michigan State just went with Aaron Burbridge.
Right.
Corley's your best player. Get the ball in the hands of your best player, and you got a chance to win.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of emotion in Ford Field during that game. Again, there you have it. Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show on Detroit Sports 105.1. Rico, always a great time. Thanks a lot for coming on the show today.
No problem, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bro. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by talking about Blake O'Neal. That's right, the punter who muffed it on Saturday, which led to, of course, that improbable Michigan State 10 seconds left on the clock victory. You get to hear what Blake had to say. We'll play it for you once again. All of that and more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just wrapped up a conversation with Rico Beard, co-host of the Ryan and Rico Show in Detroit, on Detroit Sports 105.1 FM. Rico is always covering high school football in Detroit each and every Friday night. He has a close ear to the ground when it comes to that. He was actually at that Detroit King versus Detroit Cody high school football game last week, Friday. He witnessed the post-game brawl that took place when the two teams were about to shake hands in the post-game line. And he had some interesting thoughts on it, and he thinks that, hey, the PSL dropped the ball on this one. It sends a bad message to the kids that, hey, if something that, like that goes down and if you are in the wrong, nothing really happens to you. Isaac, what was your reaction to what Rico had to say?
Yeah, you know, I think arguments can be made for both sides. Obviously, the golden dream is that this never happens again in Detroit sports. Of course, that's totally unrealistic when you expect high school kids not to fight, not to get into it. That's just going to happen. It's an unfortunate part of the high school football game. But when you're dealing with adolescence, that's what occurs. So, no, I think there are arguments to be made for both sides. Like I said, I kind of feel like it's a little bit unfair to ban a whole team from playing in the championship because of the actions. Now, you heard that it was a whole team's worth of fighting for the most part. Obviously, you had your good guys, but there was fighting from both sides, but you've got your instigators either way. You've got the people that start the fight, start the friction and all of that, and then from there on, it's just defending your team. So I think there are only a few players that deserve to be suspended. I actually think they probably got this right, in my opinion. I agree with that.
But what about that whole mantra when it comes to team sports? You win as a team and you lose as a team. I mean, what about that side of things as well? I mean, even if your teammates are, you know, you got a few knuckleheads to spoil everything, at the same time, you are a team. Don't you bowl on that notion as well?
Yeah, I mean, you win as a team and you lose as a team, but there's also
you fight as a team.
Fight as a team, but at the same time, if a few players start it, then they're not really part of that team for the next game. If you remove that, then the team's okay again. Because you win as a team, you lose as a team, you fight as a team, all of that. But if you remove the people that start the fight, then you remove the fight as a team part, and you just win and lose as a team. So I think if you remove the instigators, then you're good. I think that, for the most part, solves the problem. Now, I think that the people who did instigate and start this fight need to be punished severely. A lot of, I don't know, suspension from school, maybe being kicked off the team, mm-hmm. something like that. But I think for everybody else, no, I think they should have the chance to fight for a championship. And whether those were the best players that started it or not, they should have the chance to perform at that stage.
Okay. There's multiple ways you can go with it. You win as a team, you lose as a team, but there are many people out there that don't believe in that. Yeah, you fight as a team. I don't know. There's many people out there that don't believe in that because looking at what occurred on Saturday, Blake O'Neal, punter from Michigan, from Australia, he muffed and what is being called? I saw from one media forum, they are calling this the biggest play in college football history. Yeah, I'm trying to – I think it was – was it – I'm going to have to find the article to make sure I say the media outlet that ruled on that. But it was that big, folks. It's just to put into perspective just how big that play was. And it really went as far as for many people out there in Twitterverse to send Blake O'Neal, the punter, death threats, threatening the man's life due to a mistake in athletic competition. Blake O'Neal, we've been waiting to hear his thoughts on what occurred, and here's a snippet of what he had to say.
As I said, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and go again. That's the beauty of sport. We get another chance against Minnesota to come out and prove that we're improving, and also that we've learned from the stuff that we did against Michigan State, which I think overall we had a really great game.
You know, I watched Blake O'Neal, his entire interview online, and the kid seems so bright, first off. And it to me, I got the reaction when I watched him up there fielding questions from the local media. I got the impression that he really believes that, hey, this is just – it was a play, it happened, I'm moving on with life. I mean, he didn't seem distraught at all. He didn't seem bothered at all. He even smirked, throughout multiple times of the interview. He seems like a kid who's just, hey, I'm moving on with life. You can say what you're going to say. He was even asked the question whether or not this experience has made him a tougher individual. You know what I mean? Has really helped him in his progression as a person. He said, I don't know about that one. You know, it happened. You know what I mean? He even blew that question off. I love Blake O'Neal. Love him. I think he's an outstanding punter as well. I think he's an outstanding kicker who's going to do great things for this team as the season moves on for U of M. And I don't think he's quite bothered from it, Isaac. At least that's what I saw when I watched him address the media yesterday.
Well, and he's a little bit older and coming from Australian
right.
league football. So that means that Australian rules football. So that means that he's had a little bit of this experience under national scrutiny before. But yeah, all
not to this extent, but yeah.
Exactly. Right. Not to this extent, but he has had that exposure. All hats off to him, though.
All right, folks. We are unfortunately out of time. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks to Rico Beard. Have a fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.